What's up, my peoples? Once again, welcome to Urban Reform Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Rodan. And today, we're going to get into some Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to discuss the holiness of God, just using this passage alone. And I want to mention that, you know, these podcasts will not be very long. It'll be very quick. Again, this is just a time to reflect, meditate on some things, maybe 15, 20 minutes tops. If it goes over, then I apologize for the long, it depends, what comes to my mind. So, you know, I just, again, this is not, a formal show where there's guidelines and time limits. You know, I just go ahead and speak, discuss, explain these things, and we can go from there. And I also wanted to let you guys know you could send me questions, any questions you have via the website. There's an option to send me, I think, a message via voice or text or email. Not quite sure on that exactly. Probably should have checked that first. Again, I'm new to all this. Never did a podcast before. But you can send me questions nevertheless. You can download the app. Do it that way. The app is actually for people who are going to do podcasts. But you can use that app to send me questions in the voice option. Okay? And before we continue, let me go ahead and open with a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this technology, Lord, that you have given to use for your glory and your purpose, Lord God. We ask that you will open our eyes, open our hearts to your word, Father, and to who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So guys, I want to discuss this chapter in Isaiah, chapter 6, where we see a very detailed illustration of the holiness of God. So if you will turn with me to Isaiah, chapter 6. Okay, starting at verse 1. Says this. This is the reading of God's word. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Wow. What a description of Isaiah seeing pretty much the heavens open wide. God giving him a glimpse of his majesty and holiness. Okay? Now, look at one of his angels, okay? The seraphim, who are constantly in the presence of God. That's their entire purpose of being, is to be in the presence of God 24/7. I say that humanly speaking, of course, because in heaven there is no 24/7. But I have to speak anthropomorphically, as scripture does on certain occasions, to describe that, okay? That the angels, these specific angels called seraphims, and then you have cherubim and archangels. But in this case, we see the seraphim. And look how it describes the seraphim. Let's read that verse again. In verse 2. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two covered his feet. And with two flew. Wow. What an amazing description here. That God made his creation of the seraphim similar to animals to fit their environment. You know, birds have wings so they can fly, and their habitat and their environment. Fish on the water have gills because that's their environment to survive. Okay. And he made these angels to live in his unveiled holy presence constantly. Okay, to the point, God being so holy and majestic that even these angels had to have wings to cover their faces, to cover their feet. And we could see this example also of the feet when Moses approaches the burning bush. Okay, where God's presence, and what does God tell him? To paraphrase, Moses, take off your shoes, take off your sandals, because you are standing on holy ground. Before you come any closer, remove your feet. Wow. I mean, sometimes we read these things and we just pass by the implication. Okay, the consequences of these truths of God. Okay, we've seen that also with Job, when the Lord finally responds to Job, and Job, I can imagine Job just curling up in the corner, like, oh snap, oh no, man, just hearing that makes me cringe. He was like, man, I'm a dead man, I'm pretty much doomed. Okay, when the Lord responded to his complaints and told him, where were you when I stretched out the earth, when I created everything? And on God went about, where were you? Were you there? Nope. Because I'm God. You're not. You have no right to complain about nothing. We also see that in Romans 9, where Paul responds to the complaint that he anticipated when he said they would ask, why does God find fault with us if we're just doing what God will for us to do? You didn't hear Paul say, well, let me explain that to you guys. Here's how that works. No, real simple. Who are you, as Paul says, who are you, oh man, to reply, to respond to God? That's the bottom line. But as humans, we do that. We think God has to be controlled and abide by human law. Okay? Humanity. God says his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Okay, it's what makes God transcendent. Okay, he is transcendent. He is not us. He created us. And yes, he condescends to his people, which makes him unique also from different other religions. Okay? So he made these angels, created them with six wings, so they can just continue to be in his presence. And what was it that they were continuing to say? Over and over and over and over. That's right. Listen, think about this. Right now, as we speak, as I sit here recording this podcast, the seraphim in the presence of the Lord continue to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Wow. Man, I got the chills just saying that. Literally got chills. And also, listen, if that don't put a little bit of fear in you, then I don't know. Let's pray for you, because that is amazing. Okay. Wow. You know, that's, I'm a little, I get speechless and emotional just realizing this, okay, that these angels cover their face, they cover their feet, and the other wings, they fly in his presence, singing and declaring, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory," over and over again. Wow, man. That's how holy God is. Okay? We can see this also when Moses on Mount Sinai, when he went to go get the commandments, okay, that he actually saw God in a quick glimpse. Okay, a quick glimpse of God. And not the front of God. No. He was seeing the back of God from a little crack, little hole in a rock. Because no one can see God in there. That's how holy he is. Okay. And what happened? Moses, when he came down from the mountain to the people, and they're running up to greet him, right? They're running up there to greet him. I can just see them now. Imagine them running up. Oh, there's Moses. And they get up to him. They're like, "Oh, snap. Wait a minute. Dude, cover your face. What is going on?" Moses' face was shining with such intensity and radiance that the people running up to meet him pleaded with him. They begged him to cover his face. And again, mind you, he only saw the back of God very quickly. And that's what the people were seeing in the face of Moses. Just, and they weren't even seeing God directly. They were seeing a reflection of God's glory in Moses' face, where he had to cover himself for them to even behold him. That is amazing. Okay? And in all the scripture, out of all the attributes of God, there's only one attribute, as R.C. Sproul points out in his series. The only attribute that is repeated three times. And in scripture, the repetition of the word shows the vital importance of it and the truth of the matter. Okay. His attribute of holiness. When they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts." Yeah, Lord God Almighty too. Okay. You don't hear love, 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 justice, justice, justice. all-knowing, all-knowing, all-knowing. Okay, then you get my point. No other attribute in scripture does that, but his holiness. That's why I wanted to start with this, because that is vitally important for us to understand who is this God that we worship. This holy God. He's not just some, you know, people get this idea of God with a long beard sitting on a throne with a scepter in his hand, just running things. Oh, that's a human analogy that doesn't even come close to describing God. Okay? But the fact that is repeated three times is a very important thing to point out. It consumes his very essence, is his holiness. Okay? And that is one thing that we have to acknowledge in our churches, in our worship service, in our homes, in the way we live. Okay? We have to remember the holiness of God. And, you know, not to step on toes, but when I see certain worship services out there that, to me, just makes a mockery of God, there's no sense of respect for the holiness of God. No sense of urgency and seriousness. Everything is gimmicks, concerts, you know? And I get it, but they're trying to be pragmatic and attract people into the church and keep them in there with music style, things like that. But, you know, it goes too far when they start doing things not commanded in scripture. Using smoke, you know, machines, turning. Listen, again, I don't want to step onto, but it just annoys me to no end. Okay, to walk into a church where it's like, okay, who's about to come out? Wu-Tang Clan? I mean, what's happening? You know? No, we're there for God. We're there to worship God. We're not there for our flesh to be pleased. We're not there for that. It doesn't matter what you think about the service. It only matters what God thinks about the service. Were we faithful to worshiping God in spirit and in truth? Because he is the Holy One, not us. We have to take those things into account when we're at work, things of that nature. At home, are we taking this serious? Okay? And I continue to learn from this truth. We're not perfect. We still have sinful nature. I mean, we're regenerated by the Spirit of God, but our flesh, we still war with the flesh, is what I mean. Okay, I don't want people to take issue about me saying our sinful nature. Listen, we sin. We still sin. And you should feel guilty about it. If you're sinning, living a life that doesn't please God, and you're not guilty, you don't at least feel bad, or you're like, man, Lord, I offended you again today. Okay, if you're living a continuous life of sin, again, we sin, but we acknowledge these sins and we move on. We ask for forgiveness and plead and fall back on the grace, mercy of Christ and what he did in his earthly ministry on the cross and his resurrection, putting our faith alone in Christ for our salvation, not in our works. We should be producing good works and fruit because we are saved, not to get saved. Okay, and that can take us to a whole host of other doctrines in the Christian faith. Okay, but let it be clear, okay, that the importance of God's holiness is to be studied. Honestly, in my opinion, I believe that pastors should make it a habit at least once a month in their worship service, okay, to explain this passage or to explain the holiness of God, to preach on the power and holiness of our God, to remind the people who He is. Sometimes we can get caught up in a lot of series, and that's great, but we should also, you know, go out of our way to preach and teach our people, remind them that God is holy and He demands perfect holiness from His people, which should cause you to understand that you can't be perfectly holy and that you need the grace of Jesus Christ in your life for you to even be the presence of God. So let that marinate into your mind tonight. Pray to the Lord. Lord, help me to understand more of your holiness so I can please you through faith better. Forgive us, Lord, for our iniquities. Forgive us for continuing to rebel against you and your holiness. And thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, where we can look to and we can depend on for our grace, for mercy, for our salvation. Thank you guys for listening. I'll be putting up a show at least one or two every week. And again, I'll be praying for everyone who's listening. I don't know who you are, but I will pray in general that the Lord will get through to your hearts and to your minds. Again, Jesus Christ is King.